How many has ever had any struggles in your life? How many are so used to them they're part of your life? There's a transformation process that very often the body of Christ ignores. Being made a new creation means that you are spiritually, absolutely changed. But there's a process that takes place after that. And if we don't walk through that process with God and allow God to formulate that process in us, we will constantly be struggling. We'll be struggling with things of God. We'll be struggling with things of the world. We'll be going through all kinds of stuff. And there comes a time when God wants the body equipped so that you do the ministry. Now, if our spirit is changed and our mind is the same, you're going to have a fight with your mind. You're going to have a fight with your mind over the things of the Spirit, over what God's telling you, over God's Word. You'll be asking yourself, has God really said this? And so we need to come to a place where the Spirit and the mind are united to control the body. I love the way you're shouting.
Yes, amen.
Not going to beat you up. Just going to show you. Because this transformation, this change from death to life is amazing. But if we go from death to life back to partially dead, what has it really accomplished?
That's true.
If we don't start thinking like God, we won't be acting like God.
Amen.
If we don't start hearing from God, we will listen to what everybody else is saying and think everybody else is right.
That's true.
And so let's start in the beginning and work our way through for a little bit this morning, starting with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 16. So from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view. Okay? Look at me. How many of you ever heard something about somebody? And how many of us focus on what people have said about somebody instead of what God sees in the person?
That's right.
You see, when you walked in here today and you met somebody new, you made an opinion about them real quick. Come on. So you decided in a moment in the natural, okay, I'm talking natural mind now, you decided in a moment whether I'm going to like that person or not like that person. There are people right now deciding if they like me. If you can't make that decision right, you've got bad taste. And so we come to a place where immediately things begin to happen that we need to deal with, okay? And so from now on, we judge no one or we look at no one. We identify with no one from this perspective of the world. We have a new perspective. That new perspective is what God sees in the person. They may have ripped you off. They may have beat you up. They may have said something about your kids, God forbid. And all of a sudden, we don't like them. I know you folks have better taste than that. I know you don't do that, so I'm preaching to me. And we form an opinion based on what we used to think of people instead of based on what God thinks of people.
That's right.
And so from now on, we don't do that anymore, okay? If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Now what happened? How many came to Jesus Christ, you knew something had happened, but it didn't seem like anything changed? We come to a place where we are expecting amazing things from God, and He made us a new creation inside. You have a live spirit. You are able to hear from God. You're able to walk with God, but there's something else going on. You ever been there? And we look at that and say, well, I must not have got saved. No, that's not the issue. The issue is the process. Okay? How many ever heard that somebody tell you, well, you should read your Bible every day? How many ever heard you should talk to God every day? How many have ever heard you should hang out with people who are really walking with the Lord and you're getting encouraged and built up, and they're kind of like a mentor to you? Ever hear that? Why is that so? So that somebody can have more work to do? So that you can fill your time with just reading the Word? So you can fill your time? No. We do that so we can grow. It's a growth process. Now, Paul dealt with that. Paul says in Hebrews that the time came when you were supposed to be eating meat, you were still drinking the milk. How many got your spiritual molars? Or how many of us, and man, it's wonderful to go to heaven, but how many of us are just thinking, I just want to go to heaven? I just want to go to heaven. I believe God has plans for all of us in heaven, but I also believe that God has equipped us with His plans to accomplish them on earth. So don't sit in your lazy boy waiting for something to happen that's going to take you out. That's going to happen. But how about taking some people with you?
Amen.
How about preaching a message that God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way?
Amen.
And here's the answer. Here's where we're going. Here's what we're going to do. This is how it works. Because sometimes we have to remember back to what we were. Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse number 23. When you start looking back at what God says in His Word, we begin to see the process of where He's taking us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get mad at me. Open up your hands and drop the stones. None of you were born a saint.
That's right.
We were all born ain'ts. And some of us were born double ain'ts. But here's what Paul writes. Now remember this. Just focus on it. Once you were alienated, what does that word mean? You were separated.
Estranged.
From God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Did anybody tell you that you had evil behavior? Okay, look at me, and drop your stones, okay? Every one of us who were not raised in a Christian home and at 5 or 6 accepted Christ. How many accepted Christ at 5 or 6? Just Matthew. I thought that was 2 weeks ago. Every one of us, how many of you lived in the world in the worldly way? So you were ambassadors for Satan.
Yes.
That's pretty powerful. But you understand that?
Yes.
We did things, seriously now, come on. We did things to build the kingdom of the Satan.
Yes.
How many of you talked your friends into drinking or doing drugs or doing this or doing that or something else? So we were emissaries of the enemy. But then we met Jesus. Then we met Jesus. But now you are reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Okay? How about chapter 2, verse number 13? When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive. Okay. Whether you feel like it, act like it, look like it, whatever's going on, you're alive. Because of Jesus Christ. So your spirit is now alive. And you are ready to serve Jesus. All because of his grace. His love. Therefore, the transformation process started happening. Keep in mind, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory.
Amen.
Okay, look at me. You've heard me say this before. You are not transformed from mess to mess to mess. Too often we look at our lives as just a mess. And we process that mess by, I don't feel any different, or I don't feel God, or I don't feel this, or I don't feel that. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between faith and feeling.
It's true. Amen.
How many of you woke up this morning didn't feel like a human being? So you went out and ate out of the puppy dish. You don't do that. And so the transformation process begins with being made a new creation. But go with me to Romans chapter 5. And I want us to look at this amazing grace. Okay? God transformed us because of his amazing grace. He came into our lives because of his amazing grace. And the Bible says, therefore, in verse number 1 of chapter 5, therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We've gained access by faith into this grace. I know there's more about God than grace, okay? But we have to have a starting point. There has to be a starting point. The starting point is that through his grace, through his love, God demonstrated his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to the adoption of sonship. Now listen to me. Don't get caught up in certain people are predestined. It's not saying he predestined Dwight to this and someone else to that. He's saying he predestined all of us to sonship. Now, girls, don't be upset. You make great sons, just like we make great brides. You know, the Bible calls me the bride of Christ. You too. So you may look at that and say, ah, God's just gender. He's just all about, no, he's not. He's gender neutral. He said there's no difference between men and women. Okay? We okay?
Yes.
So you make wonderful looking sons.
Thank you.
And I make a beautiful bride. And don't you forget it. So he predestined us. How did I get here? You may kiss the bride. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Understand something. Look at me. It's God's will that you're born again. It's God's will that every single person is born again. The Bible says God's not willing that anyone should perish. How do we misinterpret that? But he has a way for us to get to heaven. It's not just because you're breathing, you're going to heaven. It's because we accept Christ. We walk this life out. We grow and we mature. We're equipped to do the ministry. Can you imagine this morning if every one of us caught a vision that we're all ministers? And we're equipped to help people. We're equipped to snatch people out of the fire. We're equipped to pray for people. We're equipped to touch people's lives. We're equipped to stand up here and say, man, I can do what Dwight's doing. Just don't fire me yet. But it's true. Come on. You have more talent in you than you could ever imagine. You have more giftings in you than you can ever think. And if someone told you just to sit in a church and be quiet, they lied to you. We're all called. To the praise of his glorious, I love that word, glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now, this is the part that hit me this morning and yesterday as I was looking at this. That he lavished on us. What does it say up there?
Lavished.
Lavished? That he lavished. Look at me. No one can lavish anything on you like God does.
Huh?
He lavished this on us. Why? Because he wanted you to know the amount of faith he has in you. And he didn't want you to go out there unequipped to face the things of the world. I'm going to tell you something. There's none of us that need to be afraid or worried or fearful of what's out there because God has been there before we were. And he lavished his grace on us. Why do we have so much grace? So we can give it away.
Amen. Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so he lavished that grace on us. He lavished it. Look at 2 Corinthians or Ephesians chapter 2. It starts out as we began, for you were once dead in trespasses and sins. I'm going to go to verse 4, but I want you to understand something. I want you to say this with me. I
as a believer in Christ,
am no longer
dead.
I'm alive.
I'm righteous.
I'm prepared to meet God right now.
And I'm prepared to meet
the people out there. I'm prepared to lead them to Christ.
I'm prepared to be a witness
because I'm a child of God. Okay, that's good. Now all we got to do is walk it out. All we got to do is walk it out. But listen to this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ. For it's by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, and you are his workmanship. Sometimes we have to forget the past. You have to let go of the mistakes. You have to realize that was before. Today is now. And we walk that out. Too often we allow what probably is not going to happen to affect our Christian walk.
That's true.
And we absolutely need to realize the devil's a coward.
Amen.
Come on. He's a coward.
Yeah.
Besides that, Jesus stepped on his head.
Amen.
He has a migraine headache every morning. And you know what really bugs him? When he looks at you. Because you give him a headache too as you're walking with the Lord. And he goes through all this stuff and he gets our mind thinking, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and something else is going to happen. And man, if I get up and testify, he's going to put cancer on me and if it's all going to come back and all this stuff is going to go on. Forget it. You're giving him more power than he has.
That's right.
Through our mind.
Yes. Right.
And so God begins to deal with us through our mind. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had a major surgery or major physical condition that was wrong? How many? When you first got out of the hospital, how many of you felt something different? Thought, oh no. Oh no, this is bad. Maybe it didn't work that way. I've had it all week. Maybe the doctor just didn't read my report right. You know what I mean? You ever been there?
Yep.
Or maybe you should have given me some different medication. Or maybe this should happen. Maybe, and that didn't come from God.
That's right.
And neither did yours. And so we get more concerned what the devil's trying to do to us instead of what we're doing to him through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And so we come to a place of understanding, absolutely understanding, that God lavished his grace on us, that God has empowered us. We're going to go into that in just a moment. And we're more than conquerors. The thing that we've been taught, maybe, is that Satan's more than a conqueror. That he'll overrun you, that he'll trample on you, that he'll destroy you, that he'll kill your kids, he'll take this away from you, he'll do that. Let's focus on what God says. Let's focus on what God says. Oh, if you come to Christ, you're going to lose all your friends. Don't worry about it. I never had to give up one friend. They all abandoned me. They just left. My nickname at work in the paper mill in International Falls was Deacon. Here comes a deacon. I don't know why I couldn't be pastor, but they call me deacon. They just give me my proper place. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is wholly acceptable. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. That word transformation, can you go back with me to Jesus up on the mountain?
Yeah.
when he was transfigured and he became white like and glistening and just shining, and they saw the pre-incarnate Christ? Can you remember that? Your mind being transformed, and we're being transformed from glory to glory, must, and my mind must be changed. We must come to a place of having different thoughts. Am I trying to program you? No. The Holy Spirit wants you to think God thoughts.
Amen.
He wants you to focus on what He's doing. He wants you to focus on what He's saying. And so we begin to make the effort to let that process happen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets. Now listen to this. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How do we know when we reach that place? How do we know when we reach and attain the place of the fullness of Christ? You don't. You just keep growing. There's something that God has put in us that will keep us wanting to grow, wanting to be more like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of His Son. I want to tell you something. You can't become more righteous. When God gave you His righteousness, He gave it to you, okay? But we have to learn to walk and live in that righteousness. We begin to understand what that righteousness means. We begin to understand that, okay, I made a mistake. Okay, the righteousness goes. No, it doesn't. We don't willfully sin. We've been taught about that, okay? My life and your life needs that we please God. We do not go out there to willfully sin. We go out there to willfully please God. And we live in His righteousness. It's not a self-righteousness. It's not looking at myself and saying, hey, I'm better than Morgan. So what? No, it's not it at all. Or I'm better than this one. I'm better than that one. It's not a competition who's going to be best. The Bible says when you compare yourself against someone else, you're not wise.
That's right.
So if you want to compare yourself to someone, You get in this moment, well, I got to compare myself to someone. Compare yourself to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so when we compare ourselves to Jesus, there's always room for improvement.
Amen.
But God is taking us down that path. So we are being equipped. But for us to be equipped, we have to allow the Lord to change our mind. The Bible says, be renewed in Ephesians 4, in the spirit of your mind. The Bible says, set your mind on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for your life is hid in Christ. When we get to the place where our mind is coming around, I'm not fighting with the same battle. I'm not thinking the same thoughts. I'm not walking through this life condemning myself or beating myself up or coming to a place where I just don't like myself. You ever been there? So what'd that prove? How'd that work? It doesn't work. Because you know what begins to happen? When you start nailing yourself to the cross, not liking yourself, hating things that has no moral value, I got into a discussion yesterday with someone. Money's amoral. Hello. Your house is amoral. What goes on in the house is up to you. That can have a problem. What you do with your money is up to you. That can have a problem. Money and your house aren't evil. Do we believe that?
Yes, sir.
So we just come to a place where we begin to understand something. God is never going to tell you he hates you. Okay? How many can believe that? God is never going to tell you that you're a low-count, stupid idiot. God's not going to tell you that you're dumb. That's why you're not getting good grades. Oh, you're just dumb. Come on. No good father does that. God is telling you you can make it. God's telling that he's more than enough in your life. God is telling you you're a child of God. God is telling you you're the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God is telling you, don't back up. Just keep going forward. Let my spirit lead you. Let my love be poured on you. Let all this stuff. And I know people say, well, you're talking too much love. You will not grow in Christ until you accept the fact that you're loved. Now say amen.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
You will not grow in Christ until you know that he loves you. Say amen.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Okay, say this. I am
loved
and accepted
by Jesus Christ.
By my Heavenly Father and by the Holy Spirit. Don't run out of gas now. Keep going. And you say, why you say that? Because we leave this place. You know, anybody can live for Christ in this building. Okay? You can do it. So if you can do it here, why can't you do it out there? Because you get a different focus. You get a different focus. And so we begin to allow our mind to be changed. And it's not by going through Ron Hubbard's or some other kind of goofy ministry thing, Christian Scientist or something else. It's by getting in the Word of God, by allowing the Word of God to work in your life. And the Word of God is the voice of God for you every day. Hear me. The Word of God is the voice of God to you every day. And that word speaks life. If you go 2, 3, 4 days or 2, 3, 4 weeks, pretty soon you find your attitude changing. You'll find thoughts changing. You'll find the pattern changing. You'll see that I'm not believing like I used to do. I'm not listening like I used to do. I'm not doing what I used to do. And so you need the Word of God. Absolutely. I went a day this week. I got involved in some word, and then I just kind of missed it on Friday. And man, I missed it. I missed it. And so we stay in the Word of God. So what happens? He wants to equip us. Romans 12:6. I hope I got the right one. So if I hand out a sheet of paper this morning and I said, write your gifting down, what would you write? How many would turn back in blank sheets? What do you like to do? What do you like to do in the kingdom? What do you like to do with people? 12:6 says this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. We have different gifts according to the grace. It's kind of interesting because before I went to Sioux Falls on Thursday, I got out my Greek lexicon and looked up the word gifts. Because I didn't get from commentaries what I was looking for. How many know there's gifts in 1 Corinthians 12? How many there's gifts in Romans 12? The word gift is the word charismatos. Charismatos. I'm not going to tell you what that means, but just remember you learned that word today. Charismatos means gifts of grace. Through God's grace on the people around us and to us, He gave His body gifts so that we can minister and build up and strengthen one another. And so God is leading us down a path. Now, don't panic when I say this next thing. The Bible says that Jesus baptized us into the body of Christ, okay? One Spirit, we're baptized into one body. I mean, the Holy Spirit baptized us, forgive me. The Holy Spirit baptized us into one body. John the Baptist says Jesus is coming and He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, all of a sudden, there's a red warning flag that goes up when you talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because of something called what? Tongues. Don't worry about tongues. Be concerned that Jesus Christ wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and that opens up a whole realm to spiritual growth. We have had an argument with denominations, with people, with this, with that. And then some of our former leaders or leaders come out and say, well, it all ended with the Apostle Paul. Why would God take something out that He gave to the early church? And if people experience the power to be witnesses. I was listening to Stephen Furtick and Robert Morse this week, and both of them are amazing. And Robert Morse was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And sometimes we forget that God wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is ask. Not making you a weirdo. What has Jesus done in your life that's weird? Nothing's weird to Him that He did in your life. Might be different for you. And throw, as we open the gifts up, the Holy Spirit wants to work through us. And He wants to mature us. And He wants us to grow. Whether you speak in tongues or not, that's between you and God. But whether you ask for the Spirit or not, we need Him. Amen. We desperately need to be baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church misses a lot when we decide that it's not for me. And so forget everything you heard about the Holy Spirit, unless you heard it from me. I'm joking. And open your life up to the mind of Christ. And allow the Holy Spirit to rest on you or in you like He did on Christ. We okay? Put your stones down. We are growing together. And we need to be ministering together. Every week, someone should come in with a testimony of what God's doing in your life and through your life. Healing people, leading people to Christ, helping people, doing the things of God, stepping into Sunday school, stepping into Wednesday night, stepping into whatever. But we're flowing in this moving of God that absolutely changes us. It gives us new purpose in life. It's designed by God. And we need every single person doing like Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Don't be afraid of what people is going to think. Keep in mind, people crucified Christ. And we are more than conquerors. I've purposed in my life, as long as I'm here, I'm going to make life miserable for the devil. Why not? What's he trying to do to your family? What's he trying to do to you? What an opportunity right now to see God move. I want to preach to this community on Jesus Christ. And let people know there's a God that loves you, not to condemn you, not to tell you to go to hell, not doing things. He's telling you, I love you, come to me. And it's a lot deeper than going to church.
Yes.
Amen. God is so good. God is so good.